Flash Studio. I'm Greta.
And I'm Sophie. And today we have a special guest with us. Welcome to the studio, Ella!
Hello!
If you don't know Ella already, she's an award-winning lash artist and with an award-winning salon, lash brand owner and a mum.
Yes, I am.
So, tell us a quick intro of how you got into lashes and then from that, building a brand.
So originally I was a makeup artist 8 years ago. That came actually from being a photographer as well. So done it all. Started as a photographer and was in like fashion photography and things like that. Wow. And to save costs, I used to do the makeup myself. And people only wanted the makeup done on Fridays and Saturdays. Yeah. So I thought, I worked in the makeup counters and retail and I just thought, how can I be self-employed full time? So I did a lash course, very bad, cheap lash course. And I started doing it in the evenings, like alongside working on a makeup counter. And then my goal was to go self-employed, but I actually got approached by a salon owner in my local town and got a job in that salon. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's funny, I didn't know you were into makeup before. Yeah. And just when I walked in and saw you, I thought, what a lovely, your makeup is so nice.
Oh, so nice.
Thank you.
What a wolf out of little bedroom.
Yes, it makes sense. Oh,
thank you.
And today we're here to talk about juggling all of it. And just letting other mums, parents, guardians know that it's not easy to do everything. And if you feel like you're sinking sometimes, then we feel the same.
100%.
And you must feel like you're actually juggling sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you have twins.
Yes.
Well, how old are they, first of all?
They'll be 8 months on Saturday. Yeah.
Aww.
Still very young. Yeah, it has been a juggle, but I think because they're my first, I don't know any different.
Yeah.
So I kind of, people go like, how do you cope with twins? And I'm like, I literally don't even know what it's like with one. So
it is what it is.
It is what it is, yeah. But I feel like I'm winging it, but at the same time, I know it's come with a lot of planning and preparation and a lot of help. And do you ever like drive and think, how the hell did I just get over that roundabout?
Gosh, yes.
That's how I literally feel about life. Like, I feel like I look at the last like few weeks or even few months and I just think, how have I done that? I just don't even know.
On barely any sleep either.
Yeah.
Were you doing lashes when you were pregnant?
Yes, but I had to stop at 26 weeks because obviously carrying twins, they do advise that you stop work at 26 weeks because from 26 weeks it's kind of a danger point.
A lot of
expecting twin mums can go into labour as early as 26 weeks. I was very fortunate to have lasted to 37 but I had a very long maternity leave with that, but I was still going into work every day, just wasn't lashing and I was working from home.
I had to be there.
But I mean, sitting and doing lashes when you're pregnant is just horrible.
Yeah. Just when I was pregnant, I think it was with Sophia, my youngest. And I remember one of the clients, that sometimes older clients, mm-hmm. they just are very straight to the point.
Yeah.
And I remember she looked at me and she went, twins. And I was like, just the one, thanks.
Oh my God.
I was massive.
Yeah.
And I think I worked, I think it was like 38 weeks or something, like till the end I pushed it. Yeah, but it was hard. So I'm just, can imagine with twins, like.
Yeah.
Double trouble.
Yeah, it was really hard. And from like very early on, I was in a lot of pain and it was just like the most painful 9 months of my life.
What sort of pain was it? Was it where they were sitting? Was it how your body was?
Yeah, so they were very like, obviously one was very low down very early on and I was quite small, but they were quite big. So they were post 6 pounders at 37 weeks. Wow. So the whole time they were like, they didn't have a lot of room.
Yeah.
So I constantly felt just in pain.
Oh, bless you.
So yeah, lashing was so hard. I actually preferred doing brows because I was stood up. So I used to like, I actually like took on a member of staff and started pushing over my clients gradually. And I did phase myself out. I went from like full-time, part-time, then just stopped completely. And it did make me dislike lashing because I was just not enjoying it because I was
so
in pain. Yeah. And I'm so glad that I enjoy it again now because I really did think I'm not going to want to get back into it, you know.
I remember even just bending down to put my shoes on.
Gosh.
And when I was like, I don't know, plus 30 weeks, and just being like, my breakfast is going to come up. And you just like can't breathe. You're like, yeah.
It's so nice being a woman, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or when you drop something, just that can stay there. It's fine. Yeah.
Drop a pair of tweezers, I'll just have to get a new.
I'll pick it up after when I give him birth. Yeah. Somebody else can do it.
And talking of work and then not liking it, how did you feel about then coming back to work? How was your return to work? When did the salon happen in all of this as well, timescale wise?
So my original plan was, I hired two members of staff. All my staff are self-employed, but I had three members of staff when I went on maternity leave. And I was in a very small salon and it was kind of like running itself. Yeah. I kind of had enough to get by comfortably. And my plan was that I didn't really want to return to work. I just wanted to be a full-time stay-at-home mum. And do you know what? Just hats off to anyone that is a full-time stay-at-home mum, because that is the hardest job in the actual world. Like, and it's not even about the boys or the twins or the babies, whatever. Like, they're not really what's hard, is it? Yeah. It's just being at home and having all of that responsibility. So, I mean, that was just getting me not down. I wasn't down. I was loving it. But I just felt like I've always been on the go and like out and about. And I was constantly taking the boys out and about and not, because I just didn't want to be sat at home all the time. Yeah. So, and then I kind of got into a bit of a situation where my salon was coming up to the end of its lease and I knew that the landlord wanted to change it into flats. So I had an option to re-sign for another year, knowing that full well I could end up having to leave or I find somewhere else. So I was on the hunt and I kind of had 3 weeks to find somewhere. And I was looking at places that were similar to what I already had. So I had like a suite as such, like above a shop, and I've always wanted my own salon, but I knew that I didn't think that was going to be possible being a mum and having a proper shop. Yeah, like, you know, with windows and stuff. And I was just like hunting and I viewed so many salons and everything kept falling through and I was just like, this isn't meant to be. And then the last place that I went, I said, if I don't get this, then I'm going to have to re-sign to my old place. And that fell through. And the guy said to me, look, there's actually a shop I know that's for rent and it's not up yet. Go and have a look. Yeah. So I went and had a look at the shop, spoke to the landlord and he was like, oh, like someone else is going to have this. The referencing is going to go through tomorrow. And I was literally heartbroken because when I looked at it, it was like just everything that I dreamed of.
This is perfect.
And I'd never seen it. Like, I've lived in my town all my life and I've never even been down this little street. And then the next day I got a call to say that it's fallen through, it's yours.
Oh, it's meant to
be. It was meant to be. And I was just like, oh my God, I've got to take it. Didn't even think about deposits or like how much it was going to cost. And it was like triple what I paid before in rent. Wow. Mm-hmm. So it is very expensive. As you know, like yeah, having like a proper salon on a main street comes with so many hidden costs. But I just went for it. And I obviously had to say to my mum and my partner, like, if I'm going to sign this lease, I need help with childcare.
A lot.
I can't just, like, what my staff was making me was paying for the salon. I was going to be making no money at all. So I was like, I need to go back to lashing. Mm-hmm. And because we moved into this stunning salon and it was just it is such a beautiful place to work. I just loved lashing again. One, I was comfortable and didn't have this massive bump in the way. And two, I just loved the environment that I was working in. And also I just feel like my days in the salon are a day off and they're a break.
Yeah, and, I get that.
You know, as much as I love every second I spend with my boys, it's nice to have adult conversation and just driving to work in the morning and grabbing a Starbucks without having to get a pram out and just like,
it just feel like you.
Yeah, you feel like, I feel like the old me again. So, and I feel like I've kind of got, obviously my purpose is being a mum, but I've always been into business and I've always been achieving and things like that.
You can be both.
Yeah.
People think that you can't be, but
no. Yeah.
You, not that it always goes perfectly, but with certain routines and a lot of help,
yes,
then you can be a businesswoman and you can be a successful, fantastic mum as well.
Yeah,
there's absolutely a quote actually about this. Let me find it, because when I saw this, I was like, this completely resonates. And I think it will with most people listening that have got kids as well. We expect women to work like they don't have children and raise children as if they don't work.
I love that.
Is that not the case?
That is
honestly
so true. It is so true.
Do you know when your partner comes home from work and then they go, and what have you been doing all day? Like, oh, just looking after the kids. I'll swap that in a second. Thank you very much. Like 9 to 5 in the office. No problem. You look after the kids.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how can they even think we don't do anything?
I know.
It's insane.
I had 3 months of just being, I don't want to say just being a stay-at-home mum because that's not how I should phrase it because it was the hardest thing ever. But when I was just a full-time stay-at-home mum, I was like doing bits and bobs for the business at home from my computer and stuff. But my partner would come home and he, like, I think he did think I wasn't doing much all day, you know, or just going out for coffees with other mums and being like, oh, you live a lovely life, you. And I'm just like, it was kind of hard because we had this like route, like constant argument about whose life's harder. And I think everyone can relate to that. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't till he started having the boys. He has them every other Monday and every Tuesday. And he now completely gets it. And he knows that it's harder to be at home with them than go to work. And since then, our relationship's been so much better. Mm-hmm. And we're much more of a team now.
An understanding.
Massive understanding. And appreciate, like, I appreciate when he comes home from work now. Actually, he's really tired. He's been at work all day. And he now appreciates when I come home from work because he goes to work as well. So we both do the same thing. And I even put it forward to him not long ago, would you be up for being a full-time stay-at-home dad? And I go back to work full-time. And he was like, absolutely not. It's so hard. He was like, surprise, I couldn't. Surprise. Yeah. And I was like, wow, I do feel like it'd be great for more dads and like partners to experience what it's like for the mum and have that role reversed, because I think as mums we are kind of like the default parents sometimes.
100%.
And I do think it saves relationships if there's much more understanding.
Don't you think we have so much mum guilt? So for you and me spoke about this the other day when it was about like even having a shower or you like you feel like you have to ask, can I go and take a shower now?
Yeah.
Could you look after the kids? But men just go and just, I don't know, I'm looking.
Yeah.
James like, and men, this is what they do. James like, come on. No, but men are like, they just do it. They don't, like, why do we feel like we need to ask or we feel guilty? Like we shouldn't be doing something.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
It's
we've started now, like, you know, not kind of asking, can you watch the boys on this night and I go out for a night with my friends? It's more like saying, I'm going out. Like,
and I'm never coming back.
This sounds so bad, but I've got like a day at the races planned. We've shut the salon. I'm taking all the girls like to ladies' day at the races. And my childcare fell through, unfortunately. And I said to my partner, I was like, you're going to have to take the day off work and have the boys. He was like, oh, I can't take the day off, blah, blah. And I went, well, I'm not looking after our children that day. So you're going to have to.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was like, in a way joking, but at the same time it's like, really, you have to think about it. It's, if it was the other way around, you know,
and straight away be like, yeah, I'll have them.
Yeah,
that's the way it is.
And yeah, he is having them now, so that's
it's
great.
Because the card reading that we had, Leonie mentioned, she was like, you had a bit of a dip in your marriage, but everything's fine now. And I'm like, yeah, we did, and that was all to do with childcare. And like, we agreed to have this baby together.
Yeah,
we both wanted him so much. Brooks arrived. It was amazing. You're in this lovely newborn bubble for a little while where everything's just great. We got this baby. He's sleeping all the time. And then all of a sudden, Mark's like, I'm going off to golf tonight. And I'm like, okay, but it's witching hour.
So what hour?
Witching
hour.
What's
that evil baby hour?
A witching hour.
When you're also trying to cook dinner, it's like bath time, they're hungry, they're tired.
And it had been fine for months because he was just this little blob that didn't have a routine, that was just around. But then when he actually started needing to have a bath, and then it was witching hour, then like I said, tea, everything else. And I'd be like, I need your help now. And he's like, yeah, but I've got golf, and you know that I've got golf. And then we had to have these really big conversations. And Mark is a fantastic human in general, very understanding.
If you're listening, Mark.
Yeah. But we lacked communication, and it took us ages to find that balance. And it was, I think he just thought, well, you're expressing milk.
Yeah.
You deal with like the bedtime. And it's like, no, actually, like you can do this as well.
Yeah.
And it took us a while to get on that track. But as a primary caregiver, and I'm the one that's off work, he's working full time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking to people that'll probably feel the exact same and have some kind of thing with communication at some point.
We had that with when it came to like the night feeds. I think most people will say, like most couples will say, well, I'm going to work, so you get up and do the night feeds, which, you know, kind of seemed fair enough. But then when you've got two, and I was bottle feeding as well, so I could have had the help. I did two, and it used to take me an hour to do one feed and change both of them. So in between feeds, I was only getting like 2 hours sleep.
Yeah.
And I can't just fall asleep straight away either. So I was like, you know, if you help me, we'd smash this out in half an hour. And he was like, no, you know, I've got work the next day. My friends don't have to do this, or my clients don't do this. And I'm like, your clients and friends don't have twins.
Yeah.
We also do.
What does it matter?
Yeah. Like, so, and it was difficult at the start. He won't mind me saying this. He doesn't enjoy being woken up, and he can sleep through anything. So even if the baby's just screaming, I'll have to elbow him in the back to wake him up. And it was a struggle at the start, but then once we'd got that routine in and I had that help and I was getting more sleep, that was just like made such a difference. And I don't think I would have been able to focus on even thinking about getting back to work if I'd have done all them night feeds by myself. Like, so yeah, definitely communication is key.
Is this true? Do your boys have like the same schedule as like, do they sleep the same time?
Yeah.
Or is it like one wakes up, other one asleep, other one wakes up?
No, 95% of the time they're in the same schedule. And that is because I was so strict from the off. If you just feed one at a time, you're going to be constantly feeding forever. Their sleep's going to be different. So I mastered feeding two at the same time. It was a lot of balancing, a lot of dangerous positions and like, you know.
Dangerous.
Yeah, do you know, like kind of like balance them on the pillow, like please don't start rolling because someone's going to hurt themselves. And yeah, it took a lot of practice, but I was like, I'm not going to spend my life feeding. And I mean, God, take my hat off to anyone that breastfeeds, let alone twins. But I just was like,
can't imagine that.
No, I was, I didn't even kind of give myself that option because I just knew it wasn't going to be possible. And I wanted the help. And thank God, because I went back to work a lot earlier than planned. Yeah. My mum wouldn't have been able to help as much, or my partner, you know. So that was, yeah, I was adamant to get them into a routine. I think that's a lot of people say, like, how have you done this, got back to work so early? And I said routine is like key, and I set a routine very early on. That is what they slept through the night from 4 months.
Wow.
So, yeah, I hate saying that because I feel guilty for other mums. No, yeah,
you've also got twins and you deserve it.
Yeah.
Like, no, but if you have put so much work into it,
yeah,
yourself to get them there,
yeah,
I don't think you should feel guilty at all.
No, it was like a lot of people go, oh, you're so lucky. I'm like, I'm not lucky. Like I worked hard
for this.
Yeah, I did do sleep training and I read so many books and like Instagrams I follow, and I tried so many different techniques and they worked. And
can you send me all of these, because Brooke still likes to come into our bed at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, they have started waking up at 5 recently, but I do blame that on the weather and the sun and coming through. And but it's fine, the earlier I get up, the more productive I am, I find. So I don't really mind getting up at 5.
Greta, how was your return to work after having Sophia?
Absolutely horrific. So Sophia was very planned. So we had everything. We opened the salon because of it. And we had all like people working, and it was great. And she was born beginning of April. My mum was over, thank God. Mid-May, I think it was, when I was in my bubble, you know, like my perfect little girl. Everything is going great. The salon is doing amazing, fantastic. And then 3 girls left at the salon same time. They were the girls who were doing volume lashes and nobody else did. And we had loads of volume clients and I did volume lashes as well. And I had to go back to work.
Oh no.
So my maternity was literally 2 months, if that.
Yeah.
And I remember my first reaction was, I'm going to close the salon. This is it. This is done. And then calmed down a little bit. My mum was like, I'm here. And I was thinking, when this happens, let's say my mum wasn't there, or let's say you don't have your mum.
Yeah.
What do people actually do? Like, put the baby in a nursery, 2 months old. Can you imagine the guilt?
Oh, it'd be awful.
It's absolutely, I can't even imagine. So I'm so thankful. It was really hard.
Yeah, I honestly don't know how single mums do it, or people with no family around. Like, and I'm not saying you can't, but a struggle.
Oh my
massively.
Gosh, yes.
And yeah, I definitely wouldn't have been able to do it about
But
mom.
Also, what was good, one good thing came out of it was lash dolls. That's how, when I was like, I can never be put in this position again where I just have a salon, just one thing to fall back on. I need something else.
Yeah.
Just in case if that goes wrong, I've got something to fall back on. And that's how the brand happened. How did your brand happen? You have a lash brand.
Yes. So mine happened from, it was sort of the idea during lockdown. And like, I think a lot of ideas came from lockdown.
Yeah, time to think, didn't we?
Yeah. And originally it was, I had the brand with my friend, but I do it by myself now. But it came because of the fact that we weren't lashing and we were kind of like, she was in my bubble and we were getting together and having a lot of drinks. And
don't you think best ideas come when you're drunk?
It was at 5 a.m. Yeah, we thought of it.
Wow.
So I'll be honest.
Like M. E.
Yeah.
Mila.
Yeah, literally that, literally. And
let's have another shot and think about it.
And it was kind of like a drunken idea. And we just like thought, well, what have we got to lose? We've got all this time. It was during the winter lockdown, you know, like the one that started in January. It's very depressing. And
oh, yeah.
We needed something to focus on.
It
so
wasn't a nice March, April, May. No. It was so brown. And
degrees, like,
oh, I know. The best time. I mean, that's when my idea for going self-employed started in that lockdown. So, because I was just dreading going back to work and working for someone. But yeah, Milash started like that. And I mean, the idea originally, like we've both been talking about being eco-friendly and things like that. And obviously I knew I wanted to start a family and it did make me kind of start to care a bit more about the world,
their future
and the world I was going to be bringing children into. Mm-hmm. So it kind of got me thinking and it made me realise that after a bit of research, there wasn't really a fully eco-friendly lash brand in England. So I've always said I didn't want to do something that everyone else was doing and I wanted to be bring something to the market that hadn't been done and that was new. And how hard is that to do these days? So hard.
Yeah, I feel like everything is done.
Yeah, so the minute I thought of this idea, I was like, I've got to act on it before someone else does. Mm-hmm. And not that I do want other lash brands to follow and, you know, eventually us all to be completely eco-friendly, but to be the first in England is...
To pioneer that move.
Mm-hmm. That was a great achievement for me, so.
Has this given you more popularity than you being the first one in the UK to be eco-friendly?
I think so. I mean, I believe like the lash industry is quite split. You've got people that really do care about the environment. Then you've got people that don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the thing is, to be eco-friendly is a bit more expensive. I mean, I take the hit for a lot of my products. I try and not charge more for being eco-friendly. I just make less profit than if I was to sell plastic. But you know, there are things out there. We all know we can buy cheaper accessories on certain websites in bulk and, you know, they're not eco-friendly at all and people are going to be caring more about that. So I do think, like, I do want to try. My goal at the moment, like, especially with my Instagram, is I'm trying to make eco-friendly trendy.
Yeah.
So I do think it's made me quite popular and I do think it makes me stand out and be memorable. But yeah, it's kind of getting that other half of the lash industry to care and therefore hopefully want to listen to what I've got to say. So that's my mission at the moment.
Sure. We've spoken about like unique selling points of brands as well. Obviously yours is very clear and you have a clear message. But I think there are a lot of brands, aren't there, where it's like, it's the same, it's pink. We've spoken about it before at Lash Fest, where it's like, we probably use a lot of the same manufacturers. So
absolutely.
What is different, which is something that Greta is working on at the moment.
Yes. And also, I do feel like it's business, isn't it? And like you said, like you take cuts into profit just to be eco-friendly.
Yeah.
Look, I think majority of people wouldn't do that because...
No.
Honestly speaking, I've been there where I'm like, we got paper boxes now, but I'm like, okay, the plastic box I can get for free.
Yeah.
Paper box is going to cost me this. So the money needs to come from somewhere. Therefore, I need to add it on top. Will people buy it?
Exactly.
Do they care that it's paper box?
I know.
And yeah, I think it's nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. And it is quite unique, isn't it, that you do that?
Yeah. And I think especially while I'm so small still, and I do class myself as... Like, I'm still such a small brand and I think whilst I'm still trying to attract customers and people, I can't be, you know, people are going to think, well, why should I buy from you when you're more expensive than this brand and stuff? I think once you get established I think you would like touching this like on your last episode, I think I listened to, about pricing and things like that. When it's like establishing yourself as a lash artist, like why would people pay more to go to you when you're not as established and experienced? And I think it goes the same with lash brands and stuff. So, you know, hopefully one day I can make more profit because I'm established enough. But for now, I don't really want to, you know, risk people not choosing to try my products over price. So, but I still think I'm not cheap. There are definitely brands cheaper than me. But there are a lot of brands more expensive than me. I like to be kind of just in the middle.
And have you had any sort of like bumps in the road going back to work with any part of it, with the salon, with childcare, with, I mean, even just childcare for me today? So we were meant to have Amy on our next podcast we were about to record after this, and her little boy's got tonsillitis, hasn't got childcare.
Yeah,
I struggle with childcare today.
Yeah,
you've had to get childcare today. Like, it's just
mine are both at school. I'm fine.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna busy. And I'm
4 years old.
Call. What's that school ringing? Yeah. Come and get them.
So that happens middle of the day, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I've had that.
Any bumps in the road as you've come back to work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it was kind of like, because I never really had a plan. And obviously I was very grateful that my partner, he had to drop a day a week at work to have the boys. So he's kind of gone part-time-ish. Mm-hmm. Lucky that he's self-employed as well. And then my mum has them one day a week on her day off. So, which I feel a lot of guilt about as well, because she sometimes will work, have the boys, then work. She doesn't really get a day off. So I'm extremely grateful for her and my partner. But it is I do feel like my business does need more of me than just 2 days a week. And obviously at the moment, with the boys having an extremely good nap schedule, I'm able to smash out so much work at home. But I know that that's not going to last that long. And they're soon going to be not sleeping that long, and they're going to be crawling and running around, and I don't know how I'm going to manage it. So obviously I've been looking into childcare, and the cost of childcare alone is so expensive, let alone twins. You only get 5% discount for the second child.
You know, I never thought of that.
Yeah, literally. I looked at just putting them in nursery like for 2 days a week, and it was going to be over £1,000 a month.
It's because I don't have twins, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you kind of can't, is it empathize?
Yeah.
Because, or you're trying to, but I've never thought when people have more than one that the cost doubles, triples.
I know. And there isn't really like any...
And there's no help.
No help out there, no. And it's like, I'm so grateful to have twins, but obviously I didn't choose to have twins. Like, you know, what if you had a plan in place? Like, I was going to do this and that. And it's just like, well, now I've got twins. Like, how, you know, if I don't get how people do it on, like, you know, the national living wage. Like, how would you... You wouldn't be able to afford to send twins to nursery if you...
What would you do?
I don't know.
You need like, you know, it doesn't work. Like, going back, nurseries are so expensive. Like, childcare is so expensive. So you literally go back to work full time to pay
for childcare.
For the childcare.
And I do feel like sometimes, like, is that worth it? Because obviously, as you know, like, I mean, with Milash, it's still a growing business. Like, my salon's established, but Milash is, I just keep investing back into it. Like, I don't pay myself a wage from that yet, because I just want it to grow. And I'm fortunate enough to have the salon to fall on. If I just had a lash brand, it'd be a bit more difficult. But it's like, do I just work to pay for childcare because my business needs me, and see it as an investment rather than... But then it's difficult. But then I also feel like I plan on not having any more children. Like, this is, they are my first and last. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of feel like, do I just cherish these early years time with them?
Yeah.
It's a constant battle, isn't it?
All the time.
Every single day. One day I wake up, I'm like, no, I'm going to be this entrepreneur that goes to work every day. I'm going to smash this out, and then we're going to have an amazing future. We're going to have a big house, go on all these holidays. And then I'm like, but then when they grow up, am I going to look back at this time and feel just guilt and regret?
I would say this. They won't remember.
True.
They won't remember. To a certain age, you are there anyway. Your partner is there, your mum is there. You are the one who remembers. And it's, again, coming back to mum guilt, because we feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But they, if you're there giving them kisses, hugs and bedtime and all this, this is probably not even... Some kids don't even get that.
No.
And we are like, you know, overthinking
and
putting our life in a way on one side, and businesses and everything, to be everywhere. We can't be everywhere.
No.
And I do. I think you're doing very extremely well.
Thank you.
I do, seriously.
Thank you.
Seriously. I don't think you should feel guilty at all.
It's about making certain, like, it's about your decision making as well. Like, I had one big bump in the road recently was I was juggling too much. And the main thing that was slipping for me was the social media of my Meelash page. Obviously, I used to have a business partner, so I shared it. And then when it was all on me and having the salon, I'd just taken on, like, my staff had doubled in like a month. So I had to promote them, micromanaging a team, the boys, dealing with Meelash stock, everything, a lot. The one thing that was really slipping was the social media. And as you know, as a lash brand, like, it doesn't matter how many followers you've got for your salon as long as you're fully booked, right? So you're only attracting a town, but as a lash brand, you want to attract worldwide. Mm-hmm. So it is a full-time job. And I was like, okay, I think I need to be in work one more day a week so I can focus just that day on the Meelash social media. And I looked at how much childcare was going to cost or how much it was, you know, we were going to take a loss if my partner stayed at home an extra day a week. And then I thought, actually, I could probably pay someone to do the job 10 million times better and it will cost me less than childcare. So I've hired a social media manager. Yes. And honestly, that was really hard because I always said I could never hand my social media over to someone else.
It's giving the power away, isn't it?
It is.
The control, yes.
But she is fantastic.
I think as well, like, it's so important to have time for yourself, even if you go to the gym or even if you do a spa or even if you see your friends or you have that little bit of you time because you are so much better mom after that. Oh, and you want to spend time with them. Mm. If you're with them all the time, we are human beings.
Yeah.
We all need a little bit of our time. So I do think
good to miss them as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've got a like new system in, like, at the moment where I was bringing the boys into the salon every day to pack orders, and that was hard enough as it is, like getting two car seats in the car and like not just having, like, some days you do just need a full day where you don't leave the house and you crack on at work or get housework done and stuff. And I wasn't having that. I was literally going out every day, getting them in the car, getting them out of the car, putting them in the pram, taking them in the salon, going in the stockroom, putting their jumping fruit on YouTube. Like, sorry if anyone's like anti-iPad here, but I'm not. And getting packing orders and stuff. And that just was like getting a bit unhealthy. And they were like, they don't sit in a pram for long now where they want to get out and roll about on the floor and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, this is just isn't working. They're screaming in the stock room while I've got a salon full of clients. Yeah. So now I've got a system where they get me up at 5 or 6 o'clock anyway. They go down for a nap at like, say, 7:30. My partner doesn't leave to go to work till 8:40.
Yeah.
So I was like, right, when they go down for a nap, I'm going to the salon and doing all my orders. And I do it super quickly. And I literally drive in, child free, run in the salon, do all my orders. It's ready for there for the postman to pick up. I go and grab a Starbucks and then I come home and I feel like so ready for the day. Mm-hmm. And then my partner's like, right, he's ready to go to work. We do the little exchange.
It's like a nice system.
Such a nice system. And like, it's then that hour in the morning where I get to go and do that, it's actually like, it feels like a break already, you know? And I kind of look forward to that hour in the morning just on my own.
It is literally organizing your day, isn't it?
Or
just like, even if you have an hour, like you say, it's doing orders is such a big deal though.
Massively. I mean, one day I'm hoping it'll take me more than an hour to do orders, but at the moment, you know, I am kind of smashing in my daily orders in an hour. And I do enjoy packing orders. I find it very therapeutic. And
Jodie, our customer service.
We don't want to talk about this.
Has been off on holiday this week, so Greta's very stressed. Oh, she's been doing the orders. So guys, if your orders are wrong, it's Greta's fault.
I'm like, I can't even say I hate this job because it's my brand.
You created it.
I used to love it and now I'm just like,
yeah, I'm sure I will get like bored of it someday. But yeah, it is having a system in place. And I think what I've started to do recently is time blocking. I don't know if you like. So I used to have endless to-do lists, and to-do lists are great, but I was kind of just like not doing them in an order. Or I do have like, I don't know, I feel like I'm a bit undiagnosed ADHD where I start something, don't finish it, go on to do something else. And then I've just got a house full of stuff that's like not been done. I just used to call myself like half a job Ella because I would just only do half a job. And now I time block and I say to myself, right, we time block in the salon, right? You book out an hour to do someone's infills. Mm-hmm. You have to do their infills in that hour. So why don't I time block my day where I have to do that? It's like unnegotiable. I have to do that. So I started actually doing it in the salon booking system. Like I would write like block time out in my day and put do this or do that. And I thought I was getting it done. So when I was in the salon, say on a Tuesday, I would have my clients, but I'd have time blocked out to do certain jobs. And I was like, why don't I do this at home as well? And since I started doing that, I actually get the stuff done on my to-do list.
Great tip.
I have to-do lists, but I don't time block. So maybe that's something that
it's really
I'll give
good.
A go and see if
well, I can little self-promotion here. it'll be out by the time this comes out. I've got a digital planner coming out.
Amazing!
For lash artists. It includes time blocking. So hopefully...
What's it going to be called?
The Ultimate Lash Tech Digital Planner.
Go ahead, tell us more about it.
So yeah, I use digital planners and obviously started time blocking and things like that. And then I realized there wasn't one just specifically for lash techs. There was things you could buy online on like Etsy and stuff that was just like client consultation forms and stuff. But I wanted something where you could have everything. So it's got everything you need for your stock check. It's got a list of every single product that is in the lash industry. So lash artists can do their stock check. They can write down all their expenses for their business, all their money goals, finances. There's a lot about manifesting in there, what you're grateful for.
God,
it's literally like a gratitude journal, a lash tech journal, stock check journal, planner. It's got daily habits. It's literally got everything, 50 pages. And you can write down on it, and then the next day erase it and start again. So obviously...
Look at Sophie's face.
How is it? So you only need to buy it once. You obviously, things like there's client consultation forms in there as well. There's lash map plans. So
everything.
And you can just screenshot it, save that, and then erase it and move on to your next one, move on to your next day.
That is amazing.
So obviously eco-friendly, saving paper.
Yes.
Only need to buy it once, so saving you money. So yeah, that'll be out by the time this comes out. So
Ultimate Lash
Tech Digital Planner.
Digital Planner.
Yeah.
Okay, so a final piece of advice from both of you. Greta, do you have a piece of advice about being a mum, being a salon owner, being a business brand owner? Because you two are actually very similar.
Yeah.
Actually.
Why is it that my advice is going to be totally different? Just get alcohol in your house.
Yeah. There we go.
That's my advice. Thank you.
And Ella, any last piece of advice for anyone that's listening today that's a mum just needing a bit of help?
Just don't believe everything you read online about when you have kids, your career is over. I think we can get stuck in a little hole on Instagram of just thinking that you can't have both. You can, and literally just do it. No matter how hard it is, it will get easier. Mm-hmm. And I promise you it gets easier. And just have some self-belief and please try and take some inspiration from today's episode. And I hope we can inspire lots of working mums.
And get your digital planner.
Yes, please.
My final piece of advice would be this. I listened to something recently and it was a mum talking about juggling. Mm-hmm. And she was saying that you have glass balls and you have plastic balls. And the glass ones are the most important things in your life. So say that's family, that's your boys, that's Sophia and Daniel for you, that's Brooks and Mark for me. And you juggle them and you keep going. You've got all those things, but you can't juggle 10 things at the same time. So if a plastic ball falls, that's... I didn't get that piece of work done, but you've still got your family. Yeah. It's just finding what's glass and finding what's plastic.
Yeah.
What great advice.
What you can drop. Mm. So thank you so much for Ella joining us today. We would love to hear from you and your experiences with mum guilt, juggling lashing and running a business. What are your tips and what have you found that works for you? Let us know over on our Instagram, which is at the Lash Studio Podcast.
So we are now taking a summer break.
Woo!
And our next podcast will air in September. And that will be with Lash Base Jamie. We don't actually know yet what this podcast exactly is going to be about or what we're going to talk about. But if you have anything you want to ask him.
Yeah, why don't we try and get to
I
know
think we should.
The
let's,
real
let's get
Jamie.
To know then, yeah, the real Jamie here.
Because we all know marketing Jamie, we know Lash Bay
We all
Jamie.
Know the nice Jamie. But let's get to know the real one.
We've been speaking about possibly having a few shots while we're doing this. Maybe.
It's early morning, but why not?
Well, there we are.
We're going to
get the Jaegers in.
Yes. So if you have any questions you want us to ask Jamie and really put him in a hot seat, then send them over to our Instagram. That's at the Lash Studio Podcast.
Thank you again, Ella, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And we will see you next time at the Lash Studio. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.